We had alternate vehicle day, and this was Jesus' alternate vehicle, a little donkey in Jerusalem. I was going to use this morning, but God had a bigger message for this morning. I don't know if it's a bigger message, but it got big in here this morning, didn't it? When I say it gets big, I mean when the Holy Spirit gets bigger than us. You know what I mean? When you stop going by your program and God starts rewriting the day. Amen. I like that. I like when the big preacher shows up, the big singer shows up, and the big Spirit of God shows up and changes your program. I'm going to be in Mark chapter 11. I can't help but do this. I do it every time, and y'all might get tired. And I preached out of this before here, and I probably will again. But Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That was hundreds of years prior to Jesus Christ living. That was prior to Jesus making his descent down into Jerusalem on the back of this donkey. This is hundreds of years prior. Every time I read that, and every time I come to this place and want to preach here, I think to myself, I'm not going to read it this time. I'm just going to go right into the message. But I think, man, if God can keep his promise about, what would be an insignificant donkey, an insignificant ride, if he can keep his promise on that, then he's pretty faithful to keep his promises on everything. If he can remember a beast of burden, he can remember me. Some of y'all might want to write that down. You might want to remember it. Because sometimes we get in places in life where we think God might have forgot about us. You can be in a hospital room, funeral home. You can be in an office. You can be on your job. You can be in a lot of situations. You can be in a turmoil of a marriage. You can be in a fight or an argument. You can just be in the valley of decision. Anybody ever been in the valley of decision? Where you just don't know what you're going to do next. God ain't really made clear what to do next. He didn't forget about the donkey. He ain't going to forget about you. Amen? That kind of gives me some hope, amen. That gives me hope. That makes me think, thank God, you know. Because God, he cares a lot. He cares a lot about this one. He cares more about me, amen. He clothes the lilies of the valley. He clothes the flowers, amen. The birds, takes care of them, feeds them every day. Praise God. He cares for me. He loves us more than that. It's good. Mark chapter 11. Let's read a little bit, and I think I'm going to do this a little bit differently, and then we'll go back. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, "And when they come nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, out of the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. He said to them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Who do ye this, or why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them what stood there said unto them, What do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and as he sat upon them, he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way. And they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Save now. Amen. I had about four thoughts, and I won't keep you too long tonight. I was just sitting there thinking as it goes on, as Jesus knows how to send. Jesus knows how to send people. He knows when to send them and where to send them. The problem is you got to make up your mind that you're going. You have to make up your mind that you're going. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you've been forgiven of your sins, that's one thing. Serving God is another. The Bible says make your election, make your calling and your election sure. That means you do work. That means you seek the Lord. You add some things to your walk. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in your book. You spend time in fellowship with God. You spend time trying to develop who you are as a believer. That takes discipline. Faith, being born again, takes willingness. I want you, Jesus. Being a disciple means I want to do this and I want to take it to another level. I want a relationship with you. I want to know more about you and I want you to do more in my life. You got to make your election sure. Say, God, here I am. I'll go and I'll do whatever you have me to do. And sometimes God will have you doing the craziest stuff on the face of the planet. Golly, you're quiet, crowd. He will send you to do stuff that when you say it, you will question yourself and people will question you. Go into the next town and steal a donkey. Amen? That's what it came down to. Go into the next town and unloose a donkey. It'll be sitting there for you to take. Go and untie it and take it. I can guarantee you them old boys on the way over there were going back and forth. This is insane. They weren't full of the Holy Spirit yet. Amen? They were walking as they was going, obedient, walking, going, thinking. I can't tell you how many times God has sent me, and on the way or during the process of me being obedient, I have said to myself, this is insane. This ain't going to be good. Then when you tell somebody else who cares for you, or loves you, or has something invested in you, that you're going to serve God in a capacity that gets them out of their comfort zone. I'm going somewhere for God. Great. Where is it? Africa, Egypt, Mongolia, Thailand, to be a pastor, to quit my job and go do something for God that has no promise whatsoever of any kind of future of helping me prosper. You're crazy. Do you know what year it is? You know how dangerous that is? You know what could happen? Yet, have you ever thought about when you tell somebody who tells you they're going for God, if you give them all the pitfalls of you don't think they've thought that out? You don't think they've said, well, you know, I didn't think about that. I'm going to guarantee they ain't slept in a while. They've thought about every bit of that. Amen? But when God says it, see, when you resign to God, when you resign your life to Him and you realize not only can He save your soul, but He can do your life better than you can do your life. When He says crazy stuff, even if you've not experienced it, the crazy stuff that He tells you to do leads to better stuff. More fulfilling stuff. More soul-fulfilling joy deep down, peace deep down. Stuff that you can't purchase, good stuff. Stuff that makes you sit back and go, man, God, why did you choose me to do this? This is awesome. And you can be as broke as you've ever been, in a place you've never been, doing something you're not qualified to do, and you'll be sitting back going, man, this is so amazing. God knows how to send. He knows what he's doing. You might want to write this one down. This is far better than what I've been preaching so far. He's already working on where you're going. You need to know that. You ain't always going to remember it, but you need to know it. You ain't always going to remember it when God says, hey, go do this crazy thing. You're going to, in your mind, resort back to your flesh, and you're going to say, oh, but God, don't you know how, whatever, right? But realize, he's already working. Go untie the colt, amen? One, there is one. Man, I would like to get all into depths of this, but do you know God knew on a molecular structure, on a biological, I mean, when the donkey was an embryo. I don't know why I even think like that sometimes. That's the one that's going to carry me. I mean, God, if you think about this, that donkey has to be right at the perfect age. Never mind. I get to thinking about stuff like that. I'm thinking, man, God is, man, he is a contact God. I mean, he is just working on one thing and another thing, and there's so many layers to it. You'd think, man, that donkey had to be born at the right time to the right owner at the right specific time that the Passover was coming. And God had this already developing. So when he spoke it, he said, go over there and get it. And it was already ready for him. He already knew the people. He had already knew the people in their mind. In their mind, that was their donkey. It was their possession. It was for them. It was always about them. But something inside of them said, if Jesus ever asked for this, if God ever wants this, I'm going to be able to do radical things. I'm going to give it away. Listen, you. This is not the equivalent of a donkey. When we think about a donkey, think about your car. And I don't care if it's your main car or not your main car. Literally, it was the mother and the colt. Oh, come on, hit me. This is future, present, amen, sitting there. This is my present. I've got this beast of burden that's producing now and one for the future. God will come get your present and your future. Hell. And forget your past. Shout on that one, be all right. And somebody's out there untying your present and your future plans. Amen? But something inside of you says, take it. Man, come out. Did you see him? I can see it in my mind, James. I watch this like a movie. Hey, come out on the porch. I don't know why I say a porch. I don't know if it's East Tennessee or what. They come out on the porch. What are you doing with that donkey? What are you doing? Jesus said, take it. Well, all right then. Do you understand? I mean, I'm being honest with you. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I've done some great things. I've been some great places. God has scared me to death. I have volunteered. I've said yes to things and hung the phone up and went, what in the world did I just say yes to? Amen? Listen to this. Them boys are saying, they're untying the donkey. I mean, their skin is just crawling. Hey! What are you doing? What did Jesus say? You ever done that, Ed? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Man, I hate to say this. I'm about to say this. Y'all gonna be so mad at me because I'm your pastor. Man, I've been in some situations before that I would have loved to remember the Bible scripture. You know what I mean? I mean, you just draw down. I mean, you're right there, and all of a sudden you're going, man, just Jesus wept. That's all I got. Amen. Some of y'all are like me, good. I mean, you're just sitting there trying to draw one. You can't get. He said, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? What did Jesus say to do? Jesus wants him. That sounds spiritual, don't it? Jesus sent us over here to steal this donkey. Have you ever noticed that Jesus has you doing some stuff in the New Testament that's amazing? How'd you get pregnant? God did it. Mary. Amen. Hey, I need this upper room. Right? Why? Jesus needs it. Okay. Right? Have you ever noticed I was getting ready for this? And I know this don't mean nothing to you, but think about these kind of things. Jesus borrowed a coat. Colt. Jesus borrowed a colt. Jesus borrowed a boat. Jesus borrowed the upper room as a chamber to eat in, and Jesus borrowed a tomb. Jesus didn't have anything. He borrowed everything. Ain't that cool? But can I preach this a little bit deeper right there? Everything he borrowed, we're still talking about. Let him have your life. And you'll still be talking about it for eternity. Amen. That's good. Jesus just borrowing stuff. He had to lean on everybody. Could you? Y'all don't know. He's God. He could have spoke it all into existence. But instead, he humbled himself to ask somebody else to provide stuff that he could have provided for himself. It kind of helps me too, because God is a networking God. Also, he keeps working through people. Amen? It's a layered God. He needs you. For some reason, he has you doing the things that he needs. He needed that upper room. Somebody had it. He needed this donkey. Somebody had it. Needed that boat. They had it. Amen? Needed that colt. Somebody had it. God is the God. Listen to this. I want you to hear this. God is a God who has people who will do it. Amen? They're not going to think about it. They're not going to be, well, I'm praying about it. I'm going to get a committee together and we're going to do this. Man, I can't stand committees. Hey, man. Jesus says, I got people who made up their mind. I have it, and if God ever wants it, he can have it. Period. Amen. Some of y'all need to write that out on your life. If God wants it, he can have it. Amen. He'll do better with it than I will. I wrote that, and I thought that was good. Make your election sure. And then I switched these two around. I don't know how these will go. Jesus knows how to use. Amen? He knows how to use. He knows how to use what you've kept better than you know how to use it. Y'all understand what I'm saying now? This guy, as long as that donkey was his, he had all kinds of plans for it. It can pull the wagon, it can pull the plow, it can do this, it can do that. I had great plans for my life. I about ruined all of them, but I had some great plans. Amen? I had some great plans. But God come along and said, what you're saving, I can do it better. Amen? What you're saving, can I preach it the way I want to preach it right here, the way God's giving it to me? Y'all going to like this. Because this is more realistic what it is. What you have left. Oh, never mind. It'd be all right if y'all would say amen every once in a while. It'd be all right. What you have left. Not what you saved. Because we're not like the people that had the donkey or the upper room. A lot of times, all we've got are the crumbs of our life. All that we have is a residue of who we were. Amen? A lot of times, we have run our life into the junk pile. And God comes and says, what you have left, boy, I could really use this for my kingdom. Amen? Don't be scared to give it all to him, even when it's just don't seem like much is left. Amen? Even when you say, God, I've ruined it. I'm disqualified. I'm not smart. I've not done this. He'll say, good. Amen? I can use that. I wrote a next note I wrote down is he can, not only can he use better than what you have, he can tame. Whew. He can tame what you have. He can tame it. Jesus can tame the untamable. That little donkey had never been ridden. That little donkey he wasn't the owner. The only new thing it knew was it was sitting on the side of the road, tied up to its mama, where two ways met. There's always two roads. There's always two ways. And there's only one way you're going to be able to navigate. That's if you let Jesus on board. If you don't let Jesus on board, you're going to go down the wrong trail. You're going to go down the wrong path. You're going to ride the road, and it's going to wear you out. That little donkey is sitting there, and I guarantee you, if anybody else had got on it, it would have bucked and screamed and ran and neighed and kicked and pitched a fit. But the Savior got on before anybody else. Man, I wish we'd minister to our kids better. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Now, I'm not talking about the church. y'all might get mad at this statement. I'm not talking about the church. Because we get them for about an hour. Two times a week, maybe three. I'm talking about grandmamas, granddaddies, mamas and daddies. I wish they'd say, son, daughter, granddaughter, don't let anybody own you until Jesus gets on board. Amen? Don't do anything until Jesus gets on board in your life. Amen? I love where the donkey's at. I'm glad the kids are across the street. That'd hate my guts right now. Tied up next to their mama, next to the door. Tied up next to their mama, next to the door. The door, to me, represents Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about Jesus. I love church. If I didn't love church, I wouldn't be a pastor. Amen? I love church. But I love Jesus more than I love a building. I love Jesus more than I love services. I love Jesus because He loves me. Amen? And when you get in with Him, He'll go with you on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday, just like He will a Sunday morning service. Amen? Matter of fact, even better. I've had better services. I've had better experiences with Jesus by myself than I have in a group of people. I have rode down the road and got to worshiping Jesus, and I promise you, He got in the car. And it's hard to drive when Jesus gets in the car. I'm serious. You talk about that Jesus take the wheel stuff? It's like Jesus says, you better not worry. You need to pull over. Amen? Because you're going to wreck both of us. Amen? I'm serious. I've had to sit in traffic, tears running down my face. People look over at you like you got two heads. What's wrong with him? He must be going through something. Nope, Jesus just got in the car. Amen? He just got in here with me. Because being honest with you, I let everything get on my life. Amen? Jesus had to get everything off me before He got on my life. And when He got on my life, He started rewiring, reworking, and resetting the dial. Man, golly. Y'all gonna mess around and make me preach. I don't know if you're so messed up, God will get in your life. And I've not got any other way to explain this. It's like He starts pulling wires out and turning dials in my mind. And I'm sitting there going, man, He's putting it back to factory defense. Like, you know, when you go back to the factory settings. Whew. Oh, man, I wish. Love, what I thought of love, cleans that off right away. Plugs it into what real love is. Love ain't about you. Love is about loving people, despite. That's love. He had to take that. What I had hooked up to love was this thing called lust. Get mine. And if I get mine, everything's good. He ripped that cord straight out. Amen? I mean, all of them. He just starts going in there and just rewiring and resetting. And you're like, man, my goodness. Let me tell you something. It's better to let Jesus on early in life than let Him get back in, because sometimes you'll fight what He's doing. God, not that wire, not that wire. I kind of like that wire. Oh, be quiet. Don't reset that one, Lord. It ain't so bad. It's bad to me. Huh? We're good at some things. Takes the drugs, takes the sex, takes it. But we don't like that manipulating. We don't like that gossip. We don't like that. We don't like that pride, and we don't like, oh, never mind. Woo! We might have had two or three come pray, but I mentioned some stuff. Control, religion, the way we've all, God will rewire everything. And you'll be a lot better for it, amen? He can tame what you can't tame. He can drive and ride what you say can't be driven or rid, amen? When he gets on it, it's amazing. See, when Jesus, I mean, I can see him. The disciples were pulling that donkey up there, and they put the clothes on it, and they're all kind of like this, man, this thing's going to get wild. I mean, Jesus is going to ride down on this thing. He ain't never been rid before. Amen? And all of a sudden, the Messiah just slouched over and sits on it. And they're all walking behind it going, man, what in the world? That thing is acting like it's been rid its whole life. Why? Because the thing that made it is on top of it. Amen? The thing that made it, designed it, wired it, is now on top of it. Amen? So guess what? If you let the thing that made you and designed you get on top of your life, you don't have to worry about being out of control, because the cap, the leader is in control. The head is on top of the body. Amen? I can just see them all. Man, look at him. He's coming out to there. And the people that didn't know, amen, and the people that raised the donkey. There goes my donkey, man. Jesus is riding that donkey. I can't believe he's riding it. Nobody's ever read it. I can't believe it's being used the way it's being used. I would have used it for this. I would have used it for that. I would have used it for plowing. I'd use it for hauling. I'd use it for pulling. But my God, it's carrying God. And we're still talking about that donkey instead of all the other donkeys in the Bible. Amen? Because it was used the right way. It was tamed the right way. Amen? That's what I want. Listen, you can read any story in the Bible. You can go and look in any place in the Bible. Anybody who resigned their life to Jesus, we're still talking about them. Anybody who said, no, I'm going to keep doing it my way, amen, we ain't talking about them no more. Orpah, does that name sound familiar? She's got a sister. Her name's Ruth. Orpah, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, my way, Moab way. Ruth, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Amen? We're still talking about Ruth today because she said, God, I don't know what my life looks like without you, but I ain't going to figure that out. I want you to be in my life and on my life. And she's one of the few Gentiles that's in the lineage of Christ Jesus. Amen? Jesus will always, he knows, Jesus will make a great entry. Jesus knows how to make a great entry. He does, don't he? The palm branches, it was almost like a protest. The palm branches were the Jewish people, that was like their symbol, right? And they were under Roman rule. And they were holding up them palm branches. What they were saying is, we're still trying to be a nation. We want to be a nation. We want to be recognized as Israel or Jerusalem or the Jewish people. Amen? And this, who we're saying right here is coming here, we're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, saved now. We're saying, he is our, we want him to be our king. And they're laying down their coats, and they're laying down their jackets, and they're laying down all these things, and they're trying to worship God. What they're wanting is a temporary fix instead of a long-time eternal fix. They're wanting him to get the reign and the rule. They're wanting the bread and the loaves and the fishes. They're wanting to be fed. They're wanting to be taken care of, and they want to have their own control. They don't want salvation. They want God to get them out of their mess. Jesus says, comes riding down that hill on a donkey, and he looks over Jerusalem and weeps. Only two places in the Bible he weeps. He said, and this is in Luke, by the way. He said, how I wanted to, as a mother hen does with her chicks, is put you up under my wings. And I'm kind of funny and a little bit weird sometimes when I think about, because, you know, like in the Bible say, put a hedge around me. And when you talk about a hedge, it's like bushes. I want a fortified wall. Sorry. And Jesus says, I'd like to be a chicken. And I'm sitting there thinking, how about a pit bull or something, you know? How about a lion? But that's not what he's saying. What he's wanting to say. Have you ever seen that? I don't know if y'all country enough. But we raised chickens when I was a kid. Not a bunch of chickens like Mark and them raised. We had a little chicken coop. You know what I mean? But I was always amazed that those mother hens, if something was scaring them, they'd do that. And all of a sudden, when that mother hen thought it was safe, she'd lift them wings up. And, man, I was always amazed. Man, I thought, man, there's like two or three in there. There's like 20. They're like coming out of there everywhere. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I think that's what God was saying to us. I can cover y'all if you'll let me. But the problem is you don't want me to cover you all. Jesus can make an amazing entry. The religious people that time came out of the temple, and they was riding up, and they were making a fit. They were, Hosanna, 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 save now. And all of a sudden, man, they were trying to have church in the temple. And they come out there and they're like, hey, y'all need to quieten down. They went right to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you tell these people to quieten down. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. You know what he was saying? I'm going to be glorified today. Because God said I'm going to be glorified. Because we're going to be glorified. Because I'm going to the cross. In 3 days, I'm going to be on that cross. These same people that are saying, Hosanna, 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 will be screaming, crucify, crucify, crucify. Amen? But see, there's going to be another entry. And he knew it. See, he rode a beast that wasn't trained for war. He rode a beast that says, I'm on this, I'm delivering you peace. If a king comes to another army or another nation, and he's riding on the back of a donkey, or an animal that's not made for war, he's saying, I'm offering you peace. Listen, you're living in the time where God has offered you peace. Amen? There will be a day when he comes on the back of a white horse. When he comes that time, he will be not offering peace, but he'll be offering judgment. Same God, same Jesus. Amen? He knows how to make an entry. The second entry, he'll be saying, I came to make peace with you. And there's two things with your life. There's two things with everybody's life in here. You're going to glorify Jesus. You're going to glorify God. You are. Everybody in this room is going to glorify Jesus. Amen? You're either going to glorify him by accepting his pardon, accepting his sacrifice at Calvary. And you're going to live your life as a Christian. You're going to say, I'm going to glorify Jesus. Or you'll glorify him as he stands before you as a righteous judge and judges you righteously. And you say yes and amen to your judgment. You'll stand in eternity as a Christian in heaven, and you will say for eternity, God is good. We'll sing a song. He is worthy. And not one person in a place called hell will say, I'm not guilty. They will say, I'm guilty as charged. I don't have a way out of this place, but I had a way out of this place. I had a way out, but I waited too long. But God is a righteous judge. Yes and amen to my salvation or my damnation. Amen? The Bible said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Everyone. Let's all stand as they come get a song. If God spoke to your heart.
to do business with God.